felt that the Spirit of God was working. There was a message there for them, and a crowd of men that needed the message. But the old devil was just as busy. There was a couple in there with two little children. They were away in the back seat, and I was in the front seat. But the screams of those children, I don't know how Larry managed to keep going. He said, I just didn't listen to them. I just kept preaching. I guarantee if it had been John Mills there, he would just have stopped. John would have said, take that child up, take that child up. But you know, you wonder at times, you wonder. But I was glad that Larry was able to keep on going and brought a good message to these men. Keep praying for that work at the rescue mission. As you know, we have it twice in the month. And I often wonder what they get when others go there. Some had the opportunity, I don't know if they took the opportunity to take a night or not. But I would like to see a good gospel message preached down there every night. And sooner or later, I'm sure there'll be souls saved. Keep praying for the work at the rescue mission. I want you to turn tonight to 1st Epistle of Timothy. We're at chapter 5 tonight. Chapter 5. We'll not get through it all, I don't think, but let us read through about the first 16 verses. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the widow of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having judgment of damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Trust the Lord have blessed us the reading of these verses. I think that will be sufficient for us for a little study tonight. We may complete the chapter some other time. Now, as you know, as you read through the New Testament, the church is presented to us in a variety of figures. We're all acquainted with the fact how the church is presented at times as a body, with every member fitly joined together, and how that one member of the body can operate without the other. And all members are controlled from the head. There's other times when you think of the church as a building, and every living stone joined in, built into the building. But now when you come to 1 Timothy 5, I think this is a rather interesting presentation for the church. Here, it seems to be the main theme of chapter 5 is the mutual relationship in the church as a family. That seems to be the figure that's presented here. The relationship which exists between Christians as a family. And you know, the relationship of a family is very close. There are some things that take place in a family circle that nobody else outside knows anything about. There's something about it very special. Now, in the family, we're not all alike. For instance, sometimes in a family, you get some members of the family who are very strong. Good appetite. They develop muscular and so on. But sometimes in the family there are others who perhaps are weak. There's the little fellow who perhaps he takes a cold whenever the wind blows on him, you know. His mother's got to wrap him up. Others, she can let them go out as they are and they never seem to take any trouble at all. But there's some, and if they go out to play, they get hurt. You know what it's like, those of you with families. See, I know there were six of us in our family. And I'm sure my mother had to look after us one after another, things going wrong. But there are other things in a family life. Now it seems to me as you go down through this chapter, the church is viewed just like that. Notice how it opens up now. There's to be respect here. In the first two verses, respect for the spiritual members of a church. Respecting them as if they were members in the family. He starts off with the elder men. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, I think I should just point out, in case some of you misunderstand this, this elder that's mentioned here in chapter 5 is not the same man that we dealt with in chapter 3. In chapter 3, the elder there was the man who was taking leadership in the assembly. Chapter 3. Here in chapter 5, it's the elderly man. The old man, if we might use that term, not in a disrespectful way at all, but in an honest way, he's an older man. And it's most unbecoming for the younger members to speak rashly or harshly to an old man. In fact, the matter is, in any home, no member of the family would think of speaking harshly to their own father. That's out of place. Even if he has done something wrong, they wouldn't speak harshly to him. So that's why he says, rebuke not an elder, that is the old man, but treat him or entreat him as a father. Now, that comes home to us in a very solemn way. For instance now, suppose you were in the position where your father did something wrong. And you felt it was resting upon you to say something to your father. How would you approach your own father? How would you try to correct him? How would you try to point out to him the error of his ways? Oh, I know it had to be done. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I knew one man who had a family of about 8 or 9 children, and he wasn't very kind to them at all. He wasn't a Christian, of course, but I know he wasn't kind to his wife and he wasn't kind to his children. If he had a little bit of money in his pocket, his first place he made for was the saloon where he could spend it on drink. But you know, the children grew up, and the second oldest boy, he went and joined the army. and he got a good training. And the first time he came home, and his father came in under the influence, he just took his father and gave him a whipping. He whipped him good and hard, see? But that wasn't his place to do that. He had longed to do it for some time because many a time his father had whipped him. Perhaps he needed it, I don't know. But when he came home at that time, after he had been well trained, you know, and he knew how to handle himself, he thought it was time now for him to whip his father out of place. Then how do you speak to your father? The same way you treat the older man in the assembly, that is someone who is older than yourself. It's most unbecoming for a young lad, or even a teenager, younger one, to rebuke and speak harshly to an old man. It's out of place. When we want to say something to them, if it's a need for some correction, well, entreat them as you would your own father. That's what Paul's saying here. Now, Timothy, you remember, is not only to do this, he's got to teach others this. So it would seem again that somewhere in the church here at Ephesus, this was something that had gone wrong. But not only do you have elderly men, you have younger men. Now he said, how are you going to treat those younger men? Well, you're going to treat the younger men as brethren. Now, how do you treat someone that's a brother in the family? They're put on a level. They're equal. You remember what they said to Joseph when the 10 of them went down to Egypt for corn. Joseph knew them, but they didn't know him. He says, you're spies. He's putting them to the test. Oh no, they said, we are all sons of the same father. We be brethren. All sons of the same father. Well, now if they were all sons of the same father, they're equal in the family. There's an equality there. So if it's a young man, he's not despised because he's a young man. He's to be treated as an equal. That's right. You don't put them in certain positions. Equal. Why? Because we've been accepted as equals in Christ. And so therefore you see, if the church is looked upon as a family, first of all he takes us to the one of age. He says, now, you don't speak harshly, you don't rebuke that man, but you entreat him as you would your own father. But what about the young man? Treat him as an equal. Listen to him. Teach him. Help him. But treat him as an equal. And then you turn round to the other side. What about those ladies? The elder women as mothers. Now it's a wonderful thing to see a group meeting in church capacity where there are a number of older women or elder women. They can be a great influence in any assembly. I remember one dear old lady, she lived to be 93 years of age, but she was losing her ability to hear. She couldn't hear too well, and in these days they didn't have these things that we wear now, and I've still got mine in. I usually take it out when I'm speaking, because when it's in I think I'm speaking loud, and here I'm not. But she couldn't wear one of these. They didn't have them in these days. And one day there was a man came in there, a perfect, absolute visitor, stranger. Nobody knew him. When he had made his appearance, he arrived there. We'd never seen him before, knew nothing about him. And on a Sunday, at the breaking of bread service, he rose. He ministered. She never heard a word he said. She sat there and looked at him. She said to her grandson after, she says, that was a wonderful man. Did you hear what he said? No, no. But she says, he's a man of God. I could sense it. Wasn't he speaking about the Lord? She sensed he was a man of God. Another man came there one day, and he got up at the break of bread service. He was on his feet. He was supposed to be leading them in worship. She said to her same grandson after, she said, "Why was that man so long on his feet? 25 minutes," she says, "on his feet. What was he saying?" "He didn't lift us to the Lord at all." She had a sense, that woman, a grip. She also knew how to pray. I know she did. One day her daughter went to visit with her. When she opened the door, her old mother, she was about 85 or 86 years of age at the time, she was praying. She lived all alone, praying. The daughter just went inside the door and she didn't want to disturb her. She just waited there. She was telling the Lord about someone, a grandson that was coming to visit with her, with his wife. She was telling the Lord what she needed. When she got up off her knees, there was a tear coming down, and she just looked around and there was her daughter standing. She said, "Oh, hello, Tini. I didn't expect you." She says, "Mother, I brought you a little parcel." She gave her the little parcel. At the time the rationing was on, things were scarce, she took it from her daughter. She says, "Oh, it's such and such." She says, "I was just asking the Lord for it." And it's true. She was just asking the Lord for that. And here was her daughter standing and said, "Before you ask, I will answer." She was a great old woman. How do you treat these old women? You treat them as mothers. How would you treat your mother? Your own mother. I know when I was a boy, we used to run home from school. If my mother wasn't in the house when we got home from school, there was something wrong. Where is she? Where's my mother? How long has she been away? When's she coming in? We didn't expect my mother to be out when we come home. We expected her there, and we went home each day for lunch, you know, and then at night time home from the school. She was expected to be there, the mother. How do you treat your mother? In the same way, we're expected to treat the elder sisters. But then there are others, the younger ones. How do we treat the younger sisters? I think this is a special word I would say for all young men. Treat the young women with all purity. How would you expect anyone to treat your sister? There's an incident way back in the Old Testament. There was a family where there was a number of boys, 12 sons, and one sister. She must have had the time of her life. One sister with 12 boys. And one day, mark you, there was others to blame for it. There she was. And she was mistreated by young men in the place where they were dwelling. They shouldn't have been dwelling there, of course. Father was to blame for that in the first place. She'd have been further on. There she was, she went out into company and was disgraced. My two of her brothers said, "Let us get our hands on them." And they did. Of course, they had no right doing what they did, the way they did it. But you see, there was something within them that said they had no right to do it. You had no right to do it to our sister. Poor Jacob had to pack up and get out of the way in case they turned on him. But you see, they respected their sister and they expected other people to respect her as well. How should we look upon the young women? At least we should be praying for them that they be kept in all purity. So he deals here with the elder men and the younger men, deals with the elder women and the younger women. And if this was a meeting specially for young men, if this was a class for young men, I would go into a lot of details with regarding that and try to impress upon these young men that they ought to treat the young Christian ladies with all purity and respect. Never do anything for which they would ever be ashamed. That's how we're supposed to treat the younger women, with all purity. But then he says there's another kind of person in the assembly, widows. You remember the first trouble that ever arose in the church, that was in the church at Jerusalem, it had to do with widows. This is one of the things that we never think of, at least seldom think of, I will say never, but seldom think of, that there is a responsibility laid upon the church to do something for widows. Now I know the answer against it, or the arguments against it, as I have raised this often in different places, and they turn right on you and say, well, there were no pensions in those days, no pensions. They've got their pensions now. I wish some of them had talked like that, would be called upon to live for a year on the widow's pension, perhaps to know something about it. Widows. There was a handout in the church at Jerusalem for widows. And you remember they had to appoint a number of men, 7 men, who was going to be responsible for the handout for these widows. How it was to be distributed. Widows have got to be cared for. There was one old preacher, wherever he went, any monies he got was always given for widows and orphans. That was his exercise. Now, I can't say it's been my exercise in my lifetime to do all that, but that was his. His exercise all the time was widows and orphans, widows and orphans. He had money to disburse, widows and orphans. And he knew where he sent them. Widows. He says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now you say, what do you mean, widows indeed? And then he gives us a whole list of different kinds of widows. You say, well, I thought all widows were alike. No, they're not all alike. There are widows, and there are widows indeed. For instance now, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In plain words, before the responsibility is laid on the church, there is a responsibility on the members of the family to do something for the widows. That is, a widowed mother. If that widow has children, relatives that could help her, there's no need to put the burden on the church. But let me tell you this. This is a particular section of the word that's seldom ministered on. And I have known a lot of Christians in my day who haven't done anything for their widowed mothers. I know what I'm talking about. My mother was a widow for 20 years. My wife's mother was a widow for 10 years. There was 4 of us sons in our family, and only 2 of us did anything to do something for my mother. The other 2 thought it wasn't their responsibility. I've come through it. But nevertheless, it's our responsibility to do something for a widow who's in need. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, do we believe what the Bible teaches? distinctly says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. How do I know the will of God? Here's one thing I know is the will of God. Here is something that's good and that's acceptable. That if we look after and do something to help our widowed mothers, never neglect your mother. Never leave it to someone else if you can do something to help. But then there's another kind. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. She that is a widow indeed and desolate. Here the one who's the widow indeed. What is the widow indeed? Who is this widow indeed? How do we come to this conclusion? What are the marks that are seen in this woman? Notice what. Because she continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. She's given herself to prayer and supplication. I believe he is one of the greatest ministries that any sister could engage in. See, you don't need to be able to take the public place in order to pray. A woman could be in her secret place in the home. She may know how to lay hold upon God in prayer and be a greater blessing in that quiet way than if she was out leading some sort of women's movements like what we've got today. Liberation of women and marching with their signs and so on. But here's a woman who can pray. I could keep you busy for a long time. I'm not going to do it, telling you stories that I know about women who prayed. I've always been impressed with a thing I've got in the house file there. The time when the great revival broke out in the north of Ireland. 58 revival. It's over 100 years ago now. 1858. They were building a big new auditorium in the town of Ballymena in the north of Ireland. It was to be opened with a great, great fanfare. Why, there was to be a big concert that night, followed by a late supper. Then they were going to dance through the night. Social, supper, and dance. Oh, the whole town was going to be there. It would be something like what they had along in Durham the other night. Drunken rabble. That's what it was to be. But instead of that, the revival broke out. And that big city auditorium was opened with a gospel meeting. Souls were getting saved. The place was moved with revival. Why? Because three old women had prayed. Three old Christian ladies had given themselves to prayer. They laid hold upon God. And they saw the answer to their prayer. See, here's a widow who's a widow indeed. She knows how to pray. And then he says, but look, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. It seems to be a paradox, doesn't it? She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Yes, dead in sins. But look, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Tell them this, preach it. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. An infidel is a man who denies God. A man who lives and says, no God for me. There's no God going to tell me how I've got to live. I'm not going to be dictated to by God. You think you could be worse than that? Well, he says, he's the man who's worse than that. The man who provides not for his own, especially for those of his own house. He has denied the faith. Beloved, Christianity is a real thing. It touches us in every sphere of life. And we either live up to it or we don't. Then he goes on to show us this widow who has to be taken into account. He gives us certain things by which they can be tested. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old, 60 years of age. That's number one. Having been the wife of one man, that is, she was a widow. Left a widow. But if after she was left in her widowhood, she married again, then she does not get reckoned as a widow indeed. You see, why not? Even if she later on is left a widow for the second time, she's not reckoned, according to this, to be a widow indeed. Why? Because she did not accept her widowhood as from God. She didn't accept it. Oh, there was nothing wrong with her getting married again. Don't misunderstand me. There was no sin for her to get married again. But she puts herself outside the sphere of being reckoned a widow indeed. She may be a widow, but not indeed. Not the one that's to be cared for. And he goes on to tell us why. The widow of one man, the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, good. If she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted. So, see all the different things. Now, first of all, here she is responsible. And what she does is this. She has an interest in the Lord's people. She has brought in strangers and entertained them in her house. She has lodged strangers. Not only so, she has washed the feet of other Christians. Now, you know what that means. That's not what the Pope was doing the other day. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I don't know if you saw it or not. He was doing it in the right way, you know. He had the old Eastern custom. He had the basin with pouring the water. These men, they could have washed their own feet. Perhaps they needed washed too. But I don't know. But he's gone, what silly old thing. And then he was kneeling down and kissing their feet. Far better for him if he'd got married long ago and kissed his wife. Instead of that, he'd kissed a man's feet. You ever see anything so silly? And they put it on the news as if it was something great. But here was a woman who washed the feet. That is, she was showing good hospitality to them. And respect. You see, now she's to be looked after. This woman not only lodged strangers, washing the feet of the saints, washing the feet and having relieved the afflicted. I remember seeing an old lady, at least I thought she was old at the time, she wasn't so very old after, when I got up myself, I realized she had been much younger than what I thought, but she looked old. Many a time as children, when we were playing, I would see her pass by along the road with a basket. Friday night, I would see her a basket on Friday night. She used to do a lot of baking. Now, on a Friday night, here she was going her rounds. She was visiting those that are a little older than herself. Certain homes she would go to. There was one in particular, I can see it yet in my mind. She visited that old lady way along at the end of the village every Friday night and took her some of the things she had been baking. I remember one time when my mother was sick in bed. I sat with her one night and said, "You know, I wish Mrs. McKee would come up and visit you tomorrow." So I said, "She might bring you some scones and some marmalade." I said, "I'm longing to taste her scones and marmalade again." So my mother wasn't able to do it when she was in bed. Come home from work the next day, she says, "You know who's here to see me?" I said, "Miss McKee." She says, "That's right. What'd she bring?" "Scones and marmalade." You know, she did this. She went around and she was relieving the afflicted. Those that were in bed and sick and couldn't do it for themselves, she was going around doing it. And people remembered her. She lived to be an old lady herself, but she was well respected in the assembly and respected in the village. She was a widow, and was a widow indeed. Now it says regarding them, if she have diligently followed every good work. But now, he says, but the younger widows refused. The younger widows were not to be placed on that list of those that were to be supported from the local church. Why? The younger widows refused, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. They'll marry again. Now, later on, he said, I will therefore that the younger women marry. He said so. Some folk have said to me, well, how young is young? Well, this verse tells you. Your ladies should understand this. I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children. Tells you how young they are, doesn't it? The younger marry and bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So there is a responsibility in the natural relationship in the family. But if here's somebody who has none of her own who can support her, and she's reckoned in the assembly, and she's of that age, and she's been a spiritual woman, we have a responsibility as Christians, as a Christian spiritual family, we have a responsibility to see that when they reach that stage, they should be cared for. I'll leave it with you there tonight, because we'll not go into the latter part of this chapter. We'll keep it perhaps for another week. But let me remind you that when you go home, restudy this. Make sure that what I'm saying is there. Don't brush it aside and say that's only McNeil's idea. Read it for yourself and see if we come up to this standard as individuals and also as an assembly. I have never known, and I've travelled a good bit now, I've been in hundreds of local churches in my day. I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of them. And I've never once heard or seen a special box taken as an offering for widows. That's not to say they don't do it. They may do it. They may do it from the general offering. I've heard nothing said about it. But I'm convinced in my own soul, whether there's pensions or not, there may be needs, and where a need is made known, this is one of the things that the Lord would have us to do as an assembly. We're a family. And there's a family responsibility. And if there are widows who have none of their own to support them, and there's a need there, then it's up to us to do something for them. Now I know that this assembly has at least over the years communicated with at least four widows who are in the mission field. There's only three of them there now that I know of. The other one is here at home. But we did communicate from this assembly with her for a while until she came back to this country. Yes, now remember there was another one who's dead now. She came from St. Kitts. And then we communicate with Nora Patterson, who's been a widow now for a number of years. We've communicated with Mrs. Howell, who has just been a widow in the last 2 years. And also with Mrs. Sutherland out in the Philippines. These are three widows. And then I think the ladies who are going up this weekend, I think it's a widow that's coming there to speak to you. That's right. Her husband and she labored for the Lord in China until the great uprising there. And he was in prison for quite a time. I met him once, I can remember of. So there are a number of widows, and they need to be supported if there is a need. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, we thank thee for thy kindness to us in supplying our needs. We want to do that which is right and honourable before thee. We pray thou shalt help us.